All right, today we're talking about Zacchaeus. We're in the book of Luke. We're starting off in chapter 19. So grab your Bibles, open up to Luke 19. We'll be in the first 10 verses today. And Zacchaeus, he's a tax collector. He's a scoundrel. He's a guy that's not loved by his countrymen. You know, they look at him as a villain. They look at him as somebody who is less than. And so here he is. He's a tax collector. The title of today's message is Now is the Time. Or so maybe we could just shorten it to Now. I don't know how many of you are procrastinators. I tend to be a bit of a procrastinator myself. It's something I've been trying to grow out of my entire life. But procrastination, it's something I think that's natural and native to humanity. We think, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, you know, tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you, tomorrow, you're only a day away. So we always think that. We always think that tomorrow we'll get some other opportunity or chance to do something that we're called to do today. And I know I've shared this story before, and, you know, some of you have heard it and some of you haven't, but I had a friend. He was a bandmate, used to, you know, sing in a band I was in. And later in life, we'd gotten very much separated. I had gotten married and got saved and, you know, sort of following the Lord. And, you know, he had gone off to continue a downward spiral in his life. And I had heard, you know, through other friends that he was in the hospital dying of cancer. And I kept thinking, I'm going to go down and visit him. I need to go see him. I need to talk to him. I need to share the Lord with him. Well, I didn't go. I waited until the right time, which wasn't then. It was always another day. And I missed out, and he passed away. And I never visited him, and I never had the opportunity again to share with him, you know, the way that the Lord had changed my life, the way that he'd transformed me, the, you know, the possibility that maybe the Lord could have transformed him and changed him and brought him to know. Maybe he did. Maybe somebody did speak into his life then. But I was called to do it, and I didn't. And I missed the opportunity through procrastination. So today's message, now. Now is the time. So let's read the passage here, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. All right, so this is very temporary. Jesus, he's entering Jericho, he's passing through. You know what? If you don't act now, you're going to miss out. And there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And some other versions say, abide. I must abide at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I thank you for this opportunity to gather together to worship you. And we want to hear from you today. We want to be expectant of what you're going to do. We want to be encouraged that now is the time. And Lord, I pray that you would speak through me today, that you would honor your word, and that you would bring us into a new acknowledgement of who you are. I pray that you'd bless this time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I had this opportunity several weeks back to be part of the Diamond Studios podcast. It was really fun. And I was immediately nervous afterwards because I think, oh, no, so here I am just kind of talking freestyle, you know, in a place. I think, how many things did I say that I shouldn't have? And, you know, how embarrassed am I going to be when I actually have to listen to this later on? But, you know, the Lord was gracious and faithful and allowed me to not say anything that I was too ashamed of, or that I was. Anyway, but in that, I started thinking, one of the questions there, you know, talking about music now and in the past and in the future, and one of the things I've thought about, and a question came later, what do I think of when I think of nostalgia? And it's something that, to me, you know, goes along with this. I don't know, for some reason, I have this thing against nostalgia. I think we look back on the past with these rose-colored glasses and think, oh, everything was great and it was perfect, and we miss all the details. And so there's so much focus put on the past that we miss out on the present and we forfeit the future. And so I think sometimes with the Lord, and you know, we've got to look for what he has for us today. We've got to listen for his word for us today. And we can't just say, well, you know, yesterday he did this. Yesterday he did that. You know, this is the way he worked, you know, in my dad's life. This is the way he worked in that. Well, what is he telling us today? What's he saying to you today? And we need to be in that place of aligning ourselves to hear from him, to be in his word, and to seek after him, to find him. You know, verses 1 through 4 talk about how Zacchaeus, he puts himself into the position to look upon the Lord. And I think that's where we need to be. We need to be in that position to look upon the Lord, to look at what he's doing now and what he's calling us to now. I know I've had a situation before where people say, you need to be prepping. You know, you never know what's coming. You know, you need to be storing up grain. Think about the way that in the Old Testament that the Lord used Joseph, yes, to store up grain and things like that. And I was like, man, you're right. I should be storing up grain. I should be doing all kinds of stuff. I should prepare for the unknown. I don't know what's coming. And then it occurs, you know, probably through some of the wisdom of my wife, you know, to help me and point me towards the Lord. What's he saying to you? In this instance, you know, he spoke to Joseph in the form of dreams, and he gave him clarity. He gave him clear vision of, here's what's needed. Here's what I need you to do to prepare for what's coming. You know, if he hadn't been listening to the Lord and he'd been thinking about, well, what did the Lord do before? And I'll make the preparations that were made years ago. It wouldn't have made an effective change, and it wouldn't have been effective for what was needed at the time. So hearing from the Lord and not just kind of looking to say, okay, here's what we should do because it's what should have been done. So anyway, last week, Aaron shared about how Jesus healed the blind man who called out to him as they were approaching Jericho. And I remember in the book of Mark, it's got, I think it's the exact same story. They call him Bartimaeus, and that was the first sermon that I ever preached in my life a long time ago. The group of angry young men, we each got an opportunity to preach, and so mine was on blind Bartimaeus. And one of the things that I remember about that and that story, it doesn't talk about it in Luke, but it talked about it in Mark, you know, when he called out to the Lord, you know, Son of David, have mercy on me, you know, and the crowd's telling him, be quiet, you know, nobody wants to hear you, you bum, you know. But, you know, they say, be of good cheer. Listen, he's calling for you. The master's calling for you. He jumps up and he throws his cloak aside and runs. You know, this is a blind man, you know, leaving aside, really kind of doing this now. He's not like, oh, I better, you know, protect myself. What's a blind man going to do with his cloak after he runs away in a crowd? He's going to lose it. And it just kind of struck me in that moment, like this is a very now situation. We've got that opportunity. The Lord is here. He's now. He's here with us now. He's calling to us to obey. So here Jesus was passing through Jericho in this story. And even though he's just passing through, this passage shows us, you know, that Jesus, he still has time for us. You know, I know when I'm driving and just passing through on my way to work and I see somebody, you know, on the side of the road or something, I don't always have time to stop and help. But the Lord is different. He has time to stop and help. He sees the needy, and he cares for them. And so even though he's passing through, this passage, it sums up the gospel of Christ. So it describes the conversion of a person. You know, like the stories of Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman, the story of Zacchaeus, it shows us about the Lord's mercy and about his forgiveness. And so here, you know, the Lord Jesus, he never changes. What he did for them, he's able and he's willing to do for any one of us today, or, you know, anyone that we come in contact with. And, you know, it's good for us, I think, to be reminded of these stories. It's good for us as Christians to be reminded of these conversion stories, these salvation stories of, you know, the gospel in real life, you know, taking place. So he never changes. And it is good for us to be reminded of that. So here he told us that Jesus, he told us previously in Luke that it's difficult for the rich to be saved. And it's like, you know, going through the eye of a needle with a camel. It's very difficult. But here the story of Zacchaeus, we're told he is rich. You know, so, and Zacchaeus was saved in this story. So it's not impossible. So it's difficult for the rich to be saved, but in the case of the rich young ruler, there's a big contrast between him and Zacchaeus. You know, the rich young ruler, he was proud in his religious ways. You know, whenever Jesus says, here's what's needed, he says, oh, all these things I've done since I was a young man. But he wound up missing out on salvation that day because his heart wasn't in it. You know, Jesus was pointing out, he's always pointing to the heart of the man, and this man's heart was with his wealth. You know, where your heart is, you know, that's where you're going to follow. You're going to follow what's really in your heart. So he's, you know, in this, Zacchaeus, he comes through this time of transition where his heart is being changed. And so there's an urgency here for Zacchaeus. He doesn't let this opportunity pass him by. And even though Jesus is just passing through Jericho, Jesus has time to stop and see a man saved. He's never too busy. So right now, I tell you, now's the time of God's favor. Now's the day of salvation, today. You know, like blind Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus, he sought the Lord and the Lord answered. Also in the passage, we're told that Zacchaeus, he was a wealthy man. So he's the chief tax collector. This guy really didn't have want or need for anything, you know. I mean, he's wealthy. He's got it all together. He's got a great position. Maybe nobody likes him, but I'm sure he still had a group of friends, you know, around him. Maybe not, you know, as many as he would have liked. But there's several reasons for him not to run and climb the tree to go and see Jesus. What need does he have? Well, I mean, he's not sick. He's, you know, Jesus is healing the sick. He's casting out devils, you know, and he's raising the dead. You know, you're hearing all these things about what the ministry of Jesus is. But Zacchaeus, he hears about Jesus. He wants to see this man. You know, as a general rule, wealthy people usually have an element of pride about them, you know, in a way that they carry themselves and things like that. And, you know, to run forward and climb up a tree, you know, kind of puts himself in a lower position. It's a position of humility. It's kind of a compromising position for him just to see somebody passing through. He's heard about Jesus and no doubt heard about what he had done with the blind beggar just outside the city. And so faith was rising up in Zacchaeus. And that's something, you know, in all of Jesus's approaches and the way that he speaks to the Pharisees is always talking to them about their hearts. You know, they're doing things. They're doing all the right stuff. They're following the law. They're following this structure. But faith isn't in them. The whole reason that any of this is done, the whole reason is to point them to the Lord, and they totally missed it. So faith's rising up in Zacchaeus. You know, now is the time. It's time to act out. It's time to act out in boldness. Zacchaeus was bold in running forward to go and climb this tree so that he could see the Lord. He was courageous in humbling himself, you know, to go there and make a point to say, you know what, I'm going to align myself with this opportunity to actually hear, you know, what the Lord has, or see him. And 2 Corinthians 6:2 tells us that, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And, you know, I think a lot of times we think that something radical needs to happen, something just amazing, this huge just upturning, you know, needs to happen to change our lives. But, you know, so many times it really is just small things. And Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. His curiosity was roused, and he took the simple action of running ahead and climbing the tree to see him. As he passed through, Zacchaeus hadn't done anything to deserve grace. He hadn't done anything to deserve Jesus' attention, but he did act in the measure of faith that he was given at that time. So, you know, that's it. I think sometimes we think that we have to act in this big measure, but if the Lord gives an element of faith to us, you know, it's up to us to act out in that respect and trust that he's going to bring a result. You know, it's like the faith, it's like a mustard seed. You know, he's always talking about you don't need much. You don't have to bring a lot to the table. You know, and when he fed the 5,000, the boys' lunch, he only had a few fish, a couple pieces of bread, and then Jesus feeds 5,000 people, plus women and children, and there was leftovers. So he's not asking us, you need to bring a lot. You need to get it all together, and then you can come to me. Just bring whatever speck you have. I can work with it. It's not a problem to me. I'll just bring a little bit of faith, and I'll take care of the rest. He can do miracles with what little we bring to the table. You know, all Zacchaeus brought was a willingness to see Jesus, and he climbed the tree to get a better vantage point. He's short. He needs to see above the crowd, so he climbs a tree to get a better vantage point. He put himself into a position to look upon the Lord. Does it? That's something for us. I want to encourage us today. Put ourselves into a position to look upon the Lord. You know, and in talking with people so many different times, it's like, what does your devotional life look like? I don't know. It's not what I want it to be. We're never at the place, I don't think, where we want it to be. We say, everything's great, everything's perfect. You know, but I think if we don't have any devotional life at all, we're certainly at that place where we're never going to receive what the Lord has for us. We need to align ourselves to receive from the Lord. So I want to encourage you today, don't despise the day of small beginnings, you know. Start with something small. You know, start seeking the Lord, aligning yourself to see him, to lay your eyes upon him, you know, and spend that time in the Word, spend that time in prayer. And it's nothing, you know, so many times we think it's got to be these great things. Well, I don't know how to pray great and wondrous prayers and even know what to say. And it seems like so many times when the Lord transformed somebody's life, it was, you know, like the the Pharisee and the tax collector that went into the temple. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That was it. That was the tax collector's prayer in that story. And he received the mercy from God then. You know, it's just like, Lord, I don't know what to pray. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Rescue me. Save me. And, you know, we grow into that place of knowledge and relationship with him from small beginnings. Everything, I'm very much, my wife is, she likes the personality tests, like an Enneagram. And she stepped out with artists, but she loves it. And so she's, you know, showing, and then it helps her to kind of understand the interactions of people and how they work. But, you know, I think part of my personality in this is I always like to learn. I'm always studying something. I'm always wanting to learn something I didn't know. And so whether it be, you know, right now I want to learn electrical circuits, you know, electronics and things like that. But I start out and I don't know anything. And I go, and it's just like you're looking at schematics, you're looking at all this kind of stuff, and I have no clue what any of this means, but I know what I want to accomplish, and I know what I want to do, so, you know, little by little, I begin to amass knowledge and begin to understand more, and I think that's it with us and the Lord. Little by little, we gain this understanding of him, but it's not just this, you know, head knowledge. We need to gain this heart knowledge of him, this experience of his presence. And it just comes. It starts in a small place. And, you know, I knew nothing about this before, and now I know something. Tomorrow I'll know more. Each day I'll grow and I'll expand this knowledge. And I think that's what we need to do with our experience and our relationship with the Lord. So verses, the second section here, verses 5 through 8, Zacchaeus obeys the call of Jesus. In verse 5, Jesus, he calls to Zacchaeus and he tells him to come down from the tree immediately. I must come to your house today. Here, Jesus wants to abide with him. He wants to spend time with Zacchaeus. He's just passing through town, but he makes time to spend with Zacchaeus. And so here, Zacchaeus gets the opportunity to host Jesus in his house. What an unexpected opportunity. He's just going to see this man that he'd heard so much about. And now all of a sudden, hey, he's coming over to my house today. He's a man, you know, Zacchaeus, he's reviled by his fellow Jews as a tax collector. He's working for the man. He's working for Rome, the oppressor, you know, this filthy, nasty government that's over top of them that has nothing to do and no knowledge of God. And, you know, so here's this fellow Jew working for this government, taking away, you know, from his countrymen. So, you know, they don't think much of him. You know, why should Zacchaeus think that he'd receive anything from Jesus? And he's pretty certain, I would think, that he doesn't expect to receive anything from Jesus in this. He's just going to see him. And maybe, you know, maybe up even in the tree, not just a vantage point, but kind of a way outside of the crowd. But, you know, nonetheless, Jesus sees him. He's seeing this sinner. He's seeing this man in need and want and acting out of faith. You know, and then when he comes down, Zacchaeus, he gladly welcomes Jesus over to his house. It's a small action of seeking Jesus, and it's paying off in a big way. It's a promise here we have. It's a promise that if we seek him, we'll find him. If we knock, he'll open the door. That's all we need to do, is seek the Lord while he may be found. And he's going to open the door. He's going to bring us and draw us into himself. He wants us to abide with him. And he makes that place for us and that space for us to abide with him. If we knock, he will open the door. So, you know, starting a new habit, sometimes it's kind of hard to do, but it doesn't take that long to actually do it. I don't know exactly what the numbers are, and at different times I've seen different things, but, you know, I would say it's probably safe to bet that if you take 6 months and you discipline yourself to do something every single day, you'll develop a habit easily. And, you know, and it might not take that long. Bad habits seem to be easier to form than good habits. But I'm talking about good habits here, like seeking the Lord, you know. So if we seek, we will find. If we knock, he'll open the door. And, you know, if our goal is to know the Lord and to experience him and to understand him and to walk as Jesus did and to walk in the power that he's given to us, the authority that he's given to us, to have the faith that he wants us to have to actually affect the change of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, then we need to be in that place of having a habit of being with him, a habit of spending time with him, of being intimate with him, you know? So I want to encourage you to get into the habit of consistently seeking the Lord and, you know, grow that habit. If you're already there, if it's growing stale, if you're kind of tired, Lord, give me more life. I don't know what's, you know, why this is stale. Give me more anticipation, more excitement, more faith, more hope. John 15, 4 and 5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So here, Jesus, he invites himself over to Zacchaeus, the sinner's house. Of course, all the onlookers there that are following, the big crowd, they're murmuring amongst themselves. Oh, look, he's going over to the house of sinners. Well, he must not know. He must really not be, you know, who he says he is. You know, why would he be hanging out with sinners? So here, I think something important to note in this, and I think it's the order of operations. I remember, you know, growing up and learning math, I really had a hard time when I got to algebra. And I think it was, you know, they gave us formulas. Here, just learn the formula. Just plug it in and you'll get the answer. And I never understood it. I never knew why it worked. And part of the fundamentals of it was the order of operations. Why am I getting a different answer here? Well, you got to know the order of operations. You have to do what's in parentheses first. And then you have to do your exponents. And then you have to do your division, multiplication, addition, then subtraction, right? All right, I've got a math teacher in here, so I'm just checking to make sure I still remember this stuff. But if you don't do the right order of operations, you don't get the right result. So anyway, I'm thinking here, what's the order of operations? Did Zacchaeus, he got all his ducks in a row, he got everything right, and then he can come to Jesus? No, the order of operations here was seek the Lord, you know, first. And so Zacchaeus, he wants to see Jesus. There's the one. Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house, and after spending time with Jesus, Zacchaeus is convicted of sin and repents. You know, it's the kindness of the Lord that brings us to repentance. You know, I think so many times the gospel's got this, you know, reversed image of, you know what, you need to get yourself right before you can come to the Lord. You know what? You know, you're a sinner. You're filthy. You're disgusting. You know, and that's the nature of how sometimes we as believers look at others, you know, but it isn't. And so all these onlookers, you know, he's going over to a sinner's house. Well, of course he's going over to a sinner's house. How else is this guy going to know mercy and repentance unless somebody shows it to him? So here we are, you know, the hands and feet of Jesus. It's our job to show mercy, kindness, love, compassion, the love of God to the sinner as well. You know, it's not like, hey, you get things right and then we can talk. So it is his kindness, the kindness of Jesus, that draws people into repentance. So there's this legalistic gospel sometimes that calls us to get things out of order, you know, and get that wrong order of operations. We come to the wrong conclusion at that point. And I remember later on with that, just the simple thing of somebody explaining to me why that has to be done. And you have to create some, you know, rules. This is mathematical rules, but you know, I think sometimes in the same way, we want things, maybe we want to jump ahead of what's necessary, and the necessary thing is just to humble ourselves before the Lord and seek him. You know, that's where the change comes from. So here's Zacchaeus. He comes under conviction of sin, and he repents with action. You know, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and I'm going to pay back anyone I cheated four times the amount. You know, a lot of times repentance, it has a cost to it. You know, maybe in this place of repentance, you have to go and admit to somebody, you know, I've sinned against you, please forgive me. You know, there's that cost of repentance. But it does require an action sometimes, you know, and it wasn't, this came again after, you know, the kindness of the Lord brought him to repentance. So here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. This is truly an act of faith. He now understands a better way, and he can separate himself from some of his wealth. You know, unlike the rich young ruler, you know, he's just like, I love my wealth. There's no way I could, you know, separate myself from this. And he walks away saddened and dejected because he couldn't receive the gift of God. You know, something was standing in his way. So here at the end, verses 9 and 10, Zacchaeus is saved by faith. And here, Jesus responds to Zacchaeus' repentance, and he says that today salvation has come because this man too is a son of Abraham. What does that mean? Why is Jesus calling him? Why, he too is a son of Abraham. What does that mean? You know, the Pharisees, in some of their interactions with Jesus, you know, they boasted about their position. You know, we're sons of Abraham, you know, and their lineage and the way that they followed the law and things like that. But Jesus called them sons of the devil, you know, because of their actions, because of the way that they acted, because of their hearts. And they weren't acting in faith. So they didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was and who he claimed to be. They were dogmatically following a method and then missing the entire purpose, Christ. So here he is, Christ himself in the flesh, walking on earth. And so many of the people that this was their entire life missed him because they missed the point. They weren't acting out of faith. They're just acting out of a legalistic method. So Galatians 3, 6 through 9 tells us a little bit here about what it means to be a son of Abraham. It says, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And he announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All those years before, he announced the gospel. That all nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. That was it. Sons of Abraham. He too is a son of Abraham because of his faith. He's adopted at this point. Zacchaeus is adopted into the family because of his faith. Aaron shared a lot of different times about adoption and how it's just this example of what the Lord does. He brings us into his family. And here, you know, now the adopted child has every right, every privilege, every honor given to anyone else in the family. Zacchaeus now is adopted into the family of God because of his faith. This detested man, this sinner, this guy who betrayed his fellow countrymen, he's brought into the same family as a son, as a brother. So with all the rights and privileges of a son, his former life hadn't taken away his chance for salvation. You know, nobody's ever too far gone, nobody's ever too far lost to escape the gift of God, to escape the gospel, to escape God's mercy and his compassion. And You know, I know we're all, most of us here in this room are believers. And if we're not, please, I appeal to you today to seek the Lord while he may be found. Just call out to him, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Rescue me, save me, reveal yourself to me. And seek somebody that can speak to, that can pray with you, that can encourage you in the Lord. But then at the same time, for those of us who are believers, we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're called to be like him and to go and do just like he did. So here this detestable man is, now going to be hosting the guest of honor. As imitators of Christ, it's really important for us to understand that salvation, it comes by no other means than just faith in Jesus. It isn't by our works, you know, otherwise we could boast about it. Hey, you know, like the rich young ruler can boast about all the things that he's done, and since he was a young man, I've taken care of this, I've followed the law. But that wasn't good enough. It wasn't what Jesus was looking for. And, you know, and it isn't what he's looking for today. He's not looking for us to do all the right stuff. He's looking for us to believe him and then trust in him. And then he will change us. He will move and he will transform our hearts. So I want to challenge us today. Don't delay. Now's the time. Now's the time to seek the Lord.